Okay, this is from a column by Chuck Colson about a true story. The story is set in World War II. When Adolf Hitler occupied Poland in 1939, he rounded up not only Jews, but all sorts of other undesirable elements who might oppose him. At the top of the list were Catholic priests. That's how Father Maximilian Kolbe, a gentle monk committed to evangelism, ended up in Auschwitz, the notorious Nazi concentration camp. It was a death camp. Jews were exterminated outright, and non-Jewish prisoners were worked to death. In this place of despair, Father Kolbe brought hope to his fellow inmates. He heard their confessions. He prayed with them. He shared his meager rations with them. Ragged, bone thin, the prisoners loved Father Kolbe. They saw in him the love of Christ. But the real test came one summer morning in 1941, when the men from Father Kolbe's barracks were called out and ordered to stand in formation. The commandant screamed at them in fury. "An inmate has escaped," he shrieked. "Escaped! And who will pay the price? You will. 10 of you will be sent to the starvation bunker." The prisoners swayed in terror. Anything was better than the starvation bunker. Death on the gallows, a bullet in the head, even the gas chambers. These were quick compared to a slow, excruciating death without food or water. The commandant walked the rows, randomly choosing 10 prisoners. One by one, the men's numbers were written down. One by one, they bowed their heads in despair. But one man couldn't hold back his agony. "My poor wife," he cried out. "My children, what will they do?" Suddenly, a prisoner stepped forward. "Halt," cried the commandant. "What does this Polish pig want of me?" The prisoners gasped. It was their beloved Father Kolbe. The priest spoke softly. "I want to die in this man's place," he said, pointing to the prisoners sobbing for his family. There was silence for a moment in the death camp of Auschwitz. The weeping prisoner, Francis Kozienicek, stared in amazement. The other inmates held their breath. Then the Nazi commandant roughly pulled Kolbe from the ranks. The condemned men were taken to the starvation bunker. But something strange happened. Over the next few days, instead of hearing the usual screaming and moaning, all who came near the death cells heard the faint sound of singing. Father Kolbe led his flock through the valley of the shadow, and in the end, he joined the Savior whose love he had showed so well. Francis Kozienicek, the inmate who had cried out for his family, was one of the few who survived Auschwitz, and he spent the rest of his life telling and retelling the story of Father Kolbe, the man who died in his place, who gave him a new life. That is a man who loved. Two of Jesus' disciples were not very loving. In Luke chapter 9, when the days draw near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. James and John were not very loving, were they? Years later, John wrote a letter, 1 John, that talked extensively about loving others. In 1 John, the word love is mentioned 46 times. Unconditional love, usually love for others. John had become a transformed man. Now for his letter, starting in the second chapter. Verse 7, "Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you hate your brother or sister, whenever it's brother here, it's brother or sister, you're in big trouble. You're still in darkness, and in fact, are walking in darkness, spiritual darkness, and you will not know where you are going. The darkness will blind your spiritual eyes. If you don't know where you are going, it might be because you hate a brother, even if you won't admit it. That's not always the cause, but it is some of the time. If you love your brother, then you abide in the light, spiritual light, and there is no cause for stumbling in life. Hating your brother and loving your brother is as different as night and day. What kind of love do you not want? Jumping to verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The world can appear lovable to us. Don't fall for it. The things of the world can appear lovable to us. Don't fall for it. What does it mean if you love the world? The love of the Father is not in you. These are the three ways mentioned. One, the desires of the flesh. What are these? Examples are given in Galatians chapter 5. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right, number two, the desires of the eyes. Two contemporary examples. Number one, pornography. A desire to view pornography is not from the Father, and can easily lead to addiction. Much wants more. And the second one, excessive screen use. This can chew up your time and even chew up your life in various ways. This also is a kind of addiction. And a third one mentioned, pride in possessions, pride in your car, your house, your clothing, your gadgets, the number of dollars you have, etc. These loves are not from the Father. It's all passing away. It won't last. What really stands the test of time? An eternally significant life that includes loving the brothers and sisters. All right, going to John 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Last week, we talked about righteousness in this verse. This week, love. If you do not love your brother, then you are not of God, but actually you're a child of the devil. Next two verses. We have to keep moving here. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who is of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Did you ever wonder why Cain killed Abel? He murdered him over a religious matter. Evil deeds versus righteous deeds. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? We find the answer to that in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. It was by faith. Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. If you and I live in faith, then the world is like Cain towards us. Next verse in John, 1 John. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Started back then and continues to now. How do we know that we have passed out of death into life? The next verse. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And finally, a very serious statement in the following verse. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This is a big deal. If you hate your brother, then you are a murderer. And if you are a murderer, then you have no eternal life abiding in you. The penalty in the Old Testament for murder was death. Jump me back to an early chapter, chapter 9 of Genesis. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it. And from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. In other words, people are so valuable because they are made in God's image. So that taking one out requires the highest penalty in the Old Testament. Jumping back to 1 John, continuing on in 1 John 3. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us love in word, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. How does love show up? A couple of examples are given here. Number one, laying down our lives for the brothers. Maximilian Kolbe literally did this. And you and I may be called to do the same. But if not, we can do this by selfless giving. No thought of, what's in it for me? And number two in that passage, don't ignore your brother in need. James amplifies this subject in chapter 2. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Don't just talk love. I love you. Do it. A few verses later in 1 John 3, the importance of loving one another is emphasized again. He just keeps pounding this home. And whatever we ask for, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Last week, we talked about keeping his commandments and believing in his name the week before. And here, loving one another, just as he commanded us. Loving one another is a big deal. If you want your prayers answered, then believe and love one another. Jumping into chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. He starts out, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. Now, He has other qualities or attributes, but God's amazing love is demonstrated by the sending of His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, He took the punishment that we deserved and turned our bad record before God into a good record. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see sin staining us, but He sees the righteousness of His Son. That's propitiation. For heaven's sake, He died on the cross for us. What greater love can that be? This is the level of love that is above any love that those who don't know God can have for another. To really love someone, you need to be born of God and know God to tap into His love. Furthermore, that love in us is a result of being born of God. It is not a prerequisite to be born of God. It comes after, not before. Loving one another is how this love shows up in our lives. If we don't love one another, that is a sign that we really haven't been born of God or know God. Loving one another means that God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Continuing on. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The day of judgment is coming. Eternal life or eternal punishment for everyone will be verified that day. By the time I got to high school, I was fearful that I could end up with a sentence of eternal punishment. That possibility terrified me. But after I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His perfect love cast out my fear of death and punishment. I now face the upcoming day of judgment with confidence. I tell you, life is much better this way. I love because You first loved me. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Is there a brother or sister that you don't love? Who pops into your mind right now? Who pops into your mind? A brother or sister you do not love? You need to love that person. You need to love that person. Did that person hurt you in some way? By what they said? By what they did or didn't do? Take the first step in loving them by forgiving them. This is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We love because He first loved us. you can love that person because God first loved you. And he'll give you everything it takes to love that person. After forgiving that person in your heart, then ask God to change your heart towards that person and fill it with love towards them. Please do that right now. I'm going to wait a couple of minutes here. There's somebody that you hate. Now you may think, well, I don't hate them. I just don't like them. Well, you got to figure that out. If you set such a difficult standard for hate, you're not going to hate anybody. And I guess you can skip reading this letter. But if God brings someone to mind that you hate, over the next couple of minutes, forgive that person. Ask God to fill you with his love for them. Just a couple of minutes here. If it takes longer than that, finish off later. Come around full circle, we come back to Maximilian Kolbe, where we started. In a sense, he was preaching to us by what he did on how to love another with the love of God. That's real life. In the final scene in the movie, The Truman Show, Truman is exiting the fabricated world he grew up in, his false world, and entering real life. The music playing in the background during that scene is titled Father Kolbe's Preaching. An interesting choice. If you'd like prayer, maybe help in any of the things I mentioned, please come forward and someone from the ministry team will pray with you. Go in the love of God and loving your brothers and sisters. That's what I'm going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.